Hello, friends. This is Andy Atwell welcoming you to Come, Let Us Reason Together. This next half hour will be dedicated to putting the Bible back into its number one place in the hearts and minds of mankind. Throughout the centuries, the Bible remained the number one book sold. Only today has it taken a back shelf position in men's lives and minds. Even Christian bookstores have more books about the Bible than the Bible itself. The Bible is the only book written by God, and in it alone is found the pathway to life. Come now, let us reason together with Gilbert Larson and his friends.
Hello, everyone. It's time to get your Bible. Grab a cup of coffee. We are in the book of John, chapter 20. And this is Gilbert from Red Bluff, California.
This is Andy from Vancouver, Washington.
This is Dan from Vancouver, Washington.
And this is Rachel from Vancouver, Washington. And this song is in Isaiah chapter 55, verse 6 and 7.
Seek the Lord while he may be found. Call upon him while he is near. Let the wicked forsake his ways, and the unrighteous man his thoughts. And let him return unto the Lord, and he will have mercy on him. And to our God, for he will abundantly pardon. Seek the Lord while he may be found. Call upon him while he is near. Let the wicked forsake his ways, and the unrighteous man his thoughts. And let him return unto the Lord, and he will have mercy on him. And to our God, for he will abundantly pardon, for he will abundantly pardon.
John 20, verse 19 through 23.
When therefore it was evening on that day, the first of the week, and when the doors were shut where the disciples were for fear of the Jews, Jesus came and stood in the midst, and says to them, Peace to you. And on this saying he showed them the hands and the side. The disciples therefore rejoiced when they saw the Lord. Jesus therefore said to them again, Peace to you. Even as the Father has sent me, I also send you. On that saying he breathed, and said to them, Receive the Holy Spirit. Whosoever sins ye forgive, they are forgiven them. Whosoever ye retain, they are retained.
What'd you think about that context? There is something in there that's really unusual. It almost goes back to like creation, back to Genesis. Remember the three words for create? The first word is right there in Genesis 1:1. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. And then it gives, there's three words, and the soul is a different word for create, it's gasha, and to create spirit is bahra, to create from nothing, to be, you know, start over brand new afresh. But God made man of the dust of the earth, the clay, and that's the Hebrew word yatzer. And then he breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and man became a living soul. Breathed in, and that is gasha. And look what Jesus does. He breathes in them, and he says, receive the Holy Spirit. The thing, that big void that was empty, that became empty when they fell, now he breathes in them and says to them, receive the Holy Spirit. That's huge. Now, this won't be fully done until the day of Pentecost to all the rest of the believers, but the Lord is preparing these folks, the ones that are, who are there with him, and they're going to be used in Acts on the day of Pentecost. It'll be a miraculous time. It's one of the three things of the healing process where we return to God. Remember the shuv and repent in the Old Testament and the New Testament about changing our mind, but the return. This is the beginning of the return, and God is preparing the disciples, and they'll be a key part in this day of Pentecost because they are going to be the ones that are going to baptize 3,000 souls. And so Jesus is breathing in them, and he says, receive the Holy Spirit. Whoever sins, you forgive, they are forgiven, them. Whosoever you retain, they are retained. Andy also noticed something about the keys. This really goes back to Matthew chapter 16, where Jesus gave the disciples the keys to the kingdom.
He gave Peter the keys to the kingdom, and here Peter's certainly sitting there. And he said something to them. He says, whatever you bind on earth will be bound in heavens, and whatever you loose on earth will be loosed in the heavens. So here he says that up front, and now he's talking about receiving the Holy Spirit. Now he's talking about forgiveness in their hands. And if that forgiveness does not come from their hands, it is not going to happen.
So this is all getting prepared for this day of Pentecost.
It's rolling forward,
it's
yes.
It's the next holy convocation, the first convocation where Jesus died. It was looking ahead to Jesus' death, his burial, his resurrection, and the Feast of Unleavened Bread foretold all this, a Feast of Passover, and the Feast of First Fruits. That's all part of that first holy convocation, and then came 50 days later the Feast of Pentecost.
And this forgiveness, it's said in Matthew 16 and here in John, that forgiveness for man coming from God is going to come with the involvement of men in it. It is not going to be God doing something directly to people. It's going to be from the ones that he chose to have their hands on it.
They'll be the vehicles.
The vehicle to bring this. It's not God just zinging people. It comes through chosen people of God. Now, this is a big, big point.
God will be doing it.
Yes, he'll be doing it.
He'll be doing it through men's hands.
Yes, he will.
But God is at the heart of it now. We become his hands. Ray used to tell us, God would be saying, I have no hands but your hands. He works through men. From here on, he'll work through men's hands.
Men have a part of it, and it is a necessary part. And I see what you're saying. God does the heavy lifting, but he puts us in it. And this is something that men have to change their minds about, that God uses his chosen people that he chooses to do this.
Also, isn't it interesting how we talked in Matthew, how this was introduced to us in Matthew and how much it's changed. There's more detail now in the book of John because we're getting really close to the book of Acts, the practices of the Holy Spirit. People talk about Acts being the Acts of the Apostles. Wrong. That's not in the original text. It is the practices of the Holy Spirit living in men. So this didn't die when the disciples died. The book of Acts is going to go on, but we're still in John. We're now in verses 24 through 25 is the next context, John chapter 20.
One more thing in verse 21, it says, Jesus said to them again, peace be with you, as the Father has sent me, I also send you. So it shows what you were talking about. It was handed off from the Father to Jesus to men.
And so this Jesus doing the sending, it's right, it's the connector. The Father to Jesus and Jesus, there is a connector.
Now, if anybody does not do exactly what Jesus does, like he does it, they're not sent from the Father. If men are walking in Jesus' footsteps and doing it exactly like he did, they have been sent by the Lord. You can look at, by their fruits, you shall know them. Are they walking in Jesus' footsteps, or are they walking, they say I a lot, and you see a lot of them in it, that's not Jesus. But if you read your Bible and you see men walking like Jesus and saying what he said, that's the truth. Verses 24 through 25.
But Thomas, one of the 12, called Didymus, was not with them when Jesus came. The other disciples therefore said to him, "We have seen the Lord." But he said to them, "Except I shall see his hands, the print of the nails, and put my finger into the print of the nails, and put my hand into his side, I will in no wise believe."
There's always a Thomas around, isn't there?
Show me. I don't believe it till I see it.
Dan had some dealings with a person like that just the other day. And you even wonder sometime if they even saw it, if they believe it. There's always seems to be a doubter in the crowd. And the last, there's two contexts left. Next one is 26 through 31.
And after 8 days, again, his disciples were within, and Thomas was with them. Jesus comes, the doors being shut, and stood in the midst, and said, "Peace to you." Then saith he to Thomas, "Reach here your finger, and see my hands, and reach thy hand, and put it into my side, and be not unbelieving, but believing." Thomas answered and said to him, "My Lord and my God." Jesus said to him, "Because thou hast seen me, thou hast believed. Blessed they that have not seen and have believed."
Exactly, the context ended in 29, and Andy did it just right. He didn't listen to me. See, that's what I'm going to just say, really, don't listen to the man, listen to the Lord. And the Lord told Andy, Gilbert got that context wrong.
That's two times that it says that Jesus was standing in their midst. I don't know how significant that is, but he was in their midst.
He could stand in our midst at times. You ever thought about that?
We made a big deal. The doors were shut.
And things...
Yeah. So the door didn't open and close.
Right.
He was just standing in their midst.
And the things happened when he was in their midst.
Yeah.
So the way that Jesus answered a really doubting person was he said, "Okay, is this what you need? Is this what you need?"
He did exactly the right thing because he sure believed fast.
Boy,
didn't he?
You go, wait a minute.
And what kind of voice do you think he said? Read it now. Try to imitate as much as Thomas would be saying it. He's going to have to work himself up.
Okay. Here it goes.
Okay, try to imitate him.
Thomas, one of the 12, called Didymus, was not with them when Jesus came. The other disciples said to him, "We have seen the Lord." But he said to them, "Except I see in his hands the print of the nails and put my finger into the print of the nails and put my hand into his side, I will in no wise believe." And after 8 days again, his disciples were within and Thomas with them. And Jesus came, the doors being shut, and stood in the midst and said, "Peace to you." Then says he to Thomas, "Reach here thy finger and see my hands, and reach thy hand and put it in my side, and be not unbelieving, but believing." And Thomas answered and said to him, "My Lord, my God." Jesus said to him, "Because thou hast seen me, you hast believed. Blessed they that have not seen and have believed." Well, he didn't stick his finger in those holes, and he didn't stick his hand in his side. Soon as he saw Jesus, he changed.
He might have even really exclaimed it, too. We don't Yeah.
You know, both times before Jesus was recognized here, he says, "Peace to you."
That was the preface, wasn't it?
Well, peace is part of the kingdom of the heavens. The kingdom of the heavens is righteousness and peace and joy in the Holy Spirit. And he was claiming authority with his kingdom.
Porque el reino de Dios no es comida ni bebida, sino justicia y paz y gozo en el Espíritu Santo. Porque el reino de Dios no es comida ni bebida, sino justicia y paz y gozo en el Espíritu Santo.
Gozo ipazi justicia in el Espiritu Santo. The kingdom of God is not meat nor drink, but righteousness, peace, and joy. The kingdom of God is not meat nor drink, but righteousness, peace, and joy. The kingdom of God is not meat nor drink, but righteousness, peace, and joy. Joy and peace and righteousness in the Holy Spirit. Joy and peace and righteousness in the Holy Spirit.
Now we're finishing up John chapter 20, verses 30 and 31.
Many other signs therefore did Jesus before the disciples, which are not written in this book. But these are written that you may believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that believing you may have life in his name.
That is an interesting thing to say there, isn't it? It says we only know in part, and we prophesy in part, but when that which is perfect has come, you know, we're going to see fully. But here we just know, and you wonder too if we are not going to be learning from God for eternity because he is eternal. It won't be, you know, oh yeah, I know it all. Do you think that we will?
Well, if you go and worship from new moon to new moon, there must be a little more than just worshiping from new moon. I mean, you're going to learn things.
Yeah.
Yes, I would say that.
Learning keeps you young.
I noticed he says, therefore, many other signs Jesus also performed in the presence of the disciples, which are not written in this book.
Right.
So thinking about that, the ones that were written down for us to know, he didn't think we needed to know all of them, but he did make known that he breathed the Holy Spirit into them, that he was in their midst.
He just didn't leave them alone.
He didn't just leave them alone.
And it says that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God. It made it important part. It says, and that believing you may have life in his name.
And he was seen, later on we're going to read, he was seen by over 500 people, you know, over a period of time. There was one time when he's going to be gone for a week. We do know that, but pretty much he has availed himself to these folks for 40 days. 43 days. Well, no, 3 days he was in the tomb, but 40 days after him being in the tomb.
Well, reading this about, you know, the other miracles and signs, the other signs Jesus did not in this book, that made me take this real personal and take this as the living word, because there are things that have happened to me and for me that aren't written in this book. So I'm able to apply what I read here to my life every day.
If you are his son, he deals with you personally. You know, in your thoughts, in your sleep, in your dreams, in your life, angels might appear to you unawares, and they will. And who knows about the Lord himself? There's some things we don't like to talk about that might seem to be boasting, so we're kind of careful on how much, you know, about our own personal walk in the Lord. We have to be rather careful about that. Some people, religious people, get real boastful on what happens to them, but we have to be constrained too, so people don't think about us. It's actually, there's a scripture that says that, that they don't, I think Paul held himself back, and it was the fact that he was able, at one time, he was caught up to even the third heaven and thought, saw things that were, we should not express, that he was not, he was limited. He couldn't talk about it. And the reason was, is that people didn't put him above and be like a god. And a lot of people in the world tend to hold men. I know it happens in Hollywood, really happens in Hollywood. It happens in sports. And they treat a person like their god.
And music.
And music, yeah. There's too much of that. that we're not to worship the creature, the created. Creature means anything created. We're not to worship anything created. We are to worship the Creator. So, chapter 21, we're still in the New Testament because Jesus has died, yet it is not yet fulfilled. These are the last days before Jesus goes to the Father. He has appeared. He's still going to be appearing to them. Then there's a week time when he does not appear to them at all, it says. So this is still that 40 days and 40 nights where he appeared to them. He's still appearing to them. It's fun to kind of slow down here and remember that he's still going to appear to them. Then there will be only a seven-day period before the day of Pentecost when they're all filled with the Holy Spirit. Chapter 21, 1 through 14. I don't see too many 1 through 14 contexts, do you?
Two sevens,
okay.
After these things, Jesus manifested himself again to the disciples at the Sea of Tiberias, and he manifested himself thus. There were together Simon Peter and Thomas, called Didymus, and Nathanael of Cana in Galilee, and the sons of Zebedee, and two other of his disciples. Simon Peter saith to them, I go a-fishing. And they said to him, We also come with thee. They went forth and entered into a boat, and that night they caught nothing. But when day was now breaking, Jesus stood on the beach. The disciples, however, knew not it was Jesus. Jesus therefore saith to them, Little children, have you aught to eat?
Now, wait a second. I'm going to interrupt you there. Here these guys are about 30 years of age. They might have been in their late 20s. I wonder if they were not 30 when they started their ministry. You know, like the priests. Think of priests.
Sure, well,
and they seem to be young men, but he calls them little children. So they're not that age of 30, or they're just turning that age of. But isn't it interesting he calls them little children? Or maybe he calls them because the day of Pentecost is not here yet. What do you think?
Well, they're not.
It's a funny thing because they're men in their maybe 29, maybe right at 30, and he says, little children. And some people would not like that at all. But unless we become like little children, we shall not in any ways inherit the kingdom of the heavens.
And they were acting like little children towards him, so he called them little children.
So maybe a person really doesn't start growing until they receive the Holy Spirit, like in the book of Acts, and start bearing fruit. But now he's calling them little children. That's kind of funny, isn't it? Sorry for interrupting you, but that hit me.
Little children, have you anything to eat? And they answered him, no. And he said to them, cast the net on the right side of the boat, and you will find. They cast therefore, and now they were not able to draw it for the multitude of fishes. That disciple, therefore, whom Jesus loved, he always says this, says to Peter, it is the Lord. Simon Peter, therefore, on hearing that it was the Lord, girt his coat about him, for he was naked, and threw himself into the sea. But the other disciples came in the little boat, for they were not far from the land, about 200 cubits off, dragging the net of fishes. And therefore they got out upon the land, they see a charcoal fire laid, and a little fish laid thereon, and bread. Jesus says to them, bring up the little fish which you have now caught. Simon Peter therefore went up and drew the net to the land, full of great fishes, 153, for all were so many, the net was not rent. Jesus said to them, come break your fast. None of the disciples durst inquire of him, who art thou, knowing that it was the Lord. Jesus cometh and taketh the bread and giveth it to them with a little fish likewise. This is now the third time Jesus was manifested to the disciples after he was risen from the dead.
Oh, this thing, I wanted to bring this up.
What?
John, who stood by the cross, where Peter had fled, he calls out to Peter, it's the Lord. It looks like Peter wasn't as aware as John. And of course, he tells us he's the one that Jesus loved.
Yes.
Isn't that say that in there? The disciple Jesus loved.
Yep, verse 7.
And this keeps repeating it.
And
now.
He's right. The better looking one. No. Anyway, he brought it to Peter's attention. It's the Lord, yet Peter's given the keys to the kingdom in Matthew. This whole thing is really interesting, isn't it? And wasn't it the two sons of Zebedee? And isn't this the John, the son of Zebedee, that were fighting who's going to sit on the... Well, the mom came, wanted to know who's sit on the right and the left.
And here is this another time saying, it's the Lord.
Right.
And here Jesus told him to throw out the net and bring in more fish. And back at the beginning, and I think it's in Matthew or Mark, he says, follow me and I'll make you fishers of men. But here they're fishing for fish.
Yep.
And he's always called the one that loved Jesus. I mean, he gets that moniker. He's got that on him.
And he tells us that he beat Peter to the the tomb.
Quicker runner.
So,
yeah.
So there,
better looking, quicker. No, I'm just kidding.
There it is again. Peter isn't a fisher of men yet.
Yeah.
The day of Pentecost hasn't happened yet.
And he doesn't know Jesus' voice.
He's still fishing for fish.
John had to tell him. John had a sensitivity where he knew that's Jesus' voice. Isn't it funny, too, how our voice is a signature?
Mm-hmm.
Some people know Jesus' voice and some don't.
But when Peter heard who it was, he jumped in. He put his coat around him, covered himself up, and jumped in the ocean to beat him over there.
Right.
He could swim. John wasn't going to get wet.
How can a young man keep his way pure by keeping it according to your word? With all of my heart I have sought you. Do not let me wander from your commandments. Your word I have treasured in my heart, that I may not sin against you. Blessed are you, O Lord. Teach me your statutes, teach me your statutes, teach me your statutes. With my lips I have told of all of the ordinances of your mouth. I rejoice in the way of your testimonies, as much as in all riches. I will meditate on your precepts and regard your ways. I shall delight in your statutes, and I shall not forget your word. Oh, how can a young man keep his way pure by keeping it according to your word? With all of my heart I have sought you. Do not let me wander from your commandments. Do not let me wander from your commandments.
We're coming to an end here. We'll see you again tomorrow. And thank you for joining us. And until we meet again, may God lead you into all truth.
You can contact Gilbert and his friends at www.gilbertandfriends.com. That's www.gilbertandfriends.com. Or write to him, Gilbert and Friends, P.O. Box 820-347, Vancouver, Washington 98682. That's P.O. Box 820-347, Vancouver, Washington 98682. Or call us at 360-600-6726. That's 360-600-6726. We invite your comments as we reason together through the Bible. Thank you for joining us on Come Let Us Reason Together and reminding you all to eat a healthy breakfast every morning. Our favorite breakfast is the Bible because it is written, man does not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God.